So Zoe, let's just cut right to the chase. For any mom who is feeling overwhelmed and feeling like, my house is crazy. I don't like this. This doesn't feel like what I thought motherhood was going to look like. What have you found to help create a home where you've enjoyed being a mom more?
Well, I think that many women start decluttering, but they don't declutter enough.
Mm.
And then hence, to your question, comes the overwhelm.
Yeah.
Right? They're just overwhelmed with it all. So they were overwhelmed in the beginning, then they declutter some more, and now guess what? They're still overwhelmed.
Yes.
Welcome to the Minimal Mom Podcast. Dawn reaches a million women each month with practical tips to simplify your home. Today, Dawn is joined by Zoe Kim, the author of Minimalism for Families. Zoe partners with individuals to tackle the challenges of cluttered home and life. Her goal is to help you find the best solution to simplify your home and life.
So my thought and practical approach to that is to take a smaller space and really just get crazy about it. Mm-hmm. Just get crazy simplified with it so that you can experience the benefits of it. One of the ways that I like to do this, even if there's items, say you start with your bathroom that you're not sure that you actually want to let go of, even though you haven't used it in like over 6 months and you're not going to use it because you don't even like the color. You saw it on someone else. That color doesn't look good on you, and that's okay. Right. But you're determined to keep it.
Right. Right.
So put it in a box, set it, you know, out of sight for a month or two. Do you miss that stuff? Do you even remember everything that you put in that box? People are always like, how do I get started? How do I keep going?
Yes.
I feel like you need a win.
Like
you need to feel the win. Decluttering a couple pairs of shoes, 5 toys, getting your husband or partner to get rid of 5 shirts isn't going to give you that win, that when you come in your house tomorrow after you decluttered, you're going to feel those effects.
So what are maybe a couple places that women could start to really feel this?
I can give you a place to start, but it's not going to be the place that everybody needs to start. Let's just say, start at your front door. You walk in, start at your drop zone. I'm assuming that your drop zone is your front door because you're going to be most impacted by that. So create a system for all your stuff when you come in the front door, your coat, your purse, your shoes. Start there.
I actually think that's really good because I noticed that when Tom would get home from work, it was like he could tell from the entryway, like when he stepped 1 foot in, what the rest of the house was going to be like. If the entryway was picked up, he knew he was going to walk into like, it wasn't perfectly clean, but like a tidy house.
Right.
But he knew if he stepped foot in and there was stuff all over and no one's shoes were put away, that he was just like, nope, there's just not even a chance that the rest of the house is picked up right now. We're visiting with Zoe Kim. Your blog is called Raising Simple. You're also on Instagram. But your book is Minimalism for Families. So Zoe, let's go back to the beginning real quick. How long ago was it that you found minimalism and what made you want to give it a try?
Yeah, ages before it was even really a thing, right? 12 years ago, let's see, my oldest, she's 17, almost 18. She was 5. I was married then to my ex-husband. He's retired Air Force, but he wasn't retired at the time and he was deployed. And it just happened this way that we had to do a move and we had to pay for it and everything and pack, and he was gone. And I had 2 kids at the time and I was just packing up this stuff. And it literally, this not a joke, was like the long 20-foot telephone cords that had never been used. And I was like, I'm getting a babysitter. I'm paying money. I'm stressed out. I'm so cranky. I'm overwhelmed. And like my kids miss me and I'm doing this so that I can pack stuff that we don't even use.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So that was the one part, you know, like light bulb moment. And then the other part that was kind of going on at the same time is that somehow I got into zero waste.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to start wasting less in the kitchen and just being more intentional. And I came across Bea Johnson. She's basically like the guru of zero waste.
Okay.
And I saw photos of her home and I'll say they're pretty extreme for most people.
Sure.
But I could still visualize my life, you know, in her photos. And I appreciated her showing her house so much because it gave me a visual. Because back then, there were not videos on decluttering and people showing their homes of what it could look like and, you know, how that would feel. So I really appreciated that. And I was like, you know, all I saw when I looked at photos of our home was like freedom.
Yeah. Well, and real quick, I'm going to interrupt our conversation. And we want to let you know that Zoe and I are hosting a live minimalism masterclass. If you have wanted to go deeper in your home, but need a little guidance, we're going to come alongside you. So the masterclass starts on Saturday, April 6th, and it's 6 hours of live guided decluttering. If you can't join us live for every session, replays will be available and it'll be put very neatly into a course style format. But Zoe, what's the magic? What's the emphasis on picking one area of our home to go deeper in?
Yeah, so the magic is that we are going to be offering about six that are really going to help you get past the overwhelm, the indecision, the just in case thoughts, the scarcity mindset for the space that you're going to pick to declutter.
And I just love this format so much. I have found that one of the most effective ways to help people get their spaces decluttered faster is through body doubling. And all body doubling is working alongside someone else. And what's so cool is that we can actually do this virtually.
And I think that is the biggest point right there, that this isn't just another online workshop where you're going to be by yourself and you're just going to have sheets of paper to look at and you're going to feel unmotivated. No, you and every other participant will have the option to turn on your camera. And so you're going to see other people working in their spaces, and that's going to be really motivating for you. You guys are going to get ideas from each other, and it's just going to be a really positive, fun experience. We're going to have fun, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And Zoe, I think often we think, well, I got myself into this mess, I need to get myself out, but that's not true. When we bring community around this with Zoe and I guiding you, I believe that it is a huge time multiplier, that an hour of focused time together, I believe you can get 2 to 3 times as much done as if you were trying to do it on your own.
Definitely.
Awesome. Well, we really hope that you can join us. We'll put all the details down below and we will see you on April 6th.
I do think for many women, you have to be at the right point when you encounter this. Because I think back to the day we had 4 kids, 4 and under, and I just heard Joshua podcast on the Art of Simple podcast. And just that one phrase of his neighbor saying, "Did you know that you don't have to have all this stuff?" And that was it. I'm like, I am Googling. I'm like, sign me up for whatever that is. Like I was, yeah. It just sounded like freedom to me. And so I look back and I'm like, oh, I must've been pretty desperate at that point that was enough to send me on this journey then. But I do remember there was very little out there then. I remember coming across the Minimalist blog and they had a photo tour of Joshua's apartment, his like New York City, I don't know where they're living, in California. And there's like nothing in it. And I'm like, right, but like, you don't have to worry about kids' toys. And like, and you don't have to worry about your family members thinking you've gone off the deep end because you got rid of all of your kids' stuff. Well, how long did it take you then to declutter? I mean, did you just not unpack stuff when you got to the other end, or what did your process look like?
Oh no, I mean, it was just down the street and, you know, I wanted to feel settled. So of course there were some things again that weren't being used that, so I just donated those. I just scheduled pickups, like tried to make it as simple and easy for myself as possible. I didn't even have a vision of what the end would look like for me. And part of that was because there was also not other blogs and things and examples that I could look at. So I feel like I spent a long time. I mean, a couple years just peeling away the onion. I like to call it
absolutely,
like an onion, right? You start with the outer layers because then by the time you get to the middle, you're crying.
Oh, I like to think of it as your decluttering muscles are stronger and you can make the harder decisions. But yes, that's probably more
accurate. That's my other favorite. That's my other favorite is that, yes, decluttering is a muscle, right? Yeah. Exercise. Don't start out with the heavy stuff because you're going to hurt yourself.
So you kind of alluded to this in the beginning, but were you surprised how much stuff you actually had to get rid of to get your house to a really manageable point?
Yes, because I think anybody who's begun decluttering, you actually feel worse when you start taking all the stuff out of your cabinets. You literally don't realize, especially if you haven't moved too, you haven't touched these things. They're just stuffed in cabinets and you start taking it out and you're like, oh wow, this is actually more than I thought. And I think that unfortunately can be a really deterring point for some people because you're already gung-ho to go. And then,
yeah, I'm really glad that you're validating that because I often feel like our cabinets and closets are like clown cars almost. Like you go to pull stuff out, you're like,
how did that much actually physically fit in there? It's remarkable. And then you're faced with all of these wrong buying decisions and all the, you know, especially when you have kids and people are giving you hand-me-downs or you go to a thrift store and it gets so confusing, I think, especially when you have little kids, because you're like, well, do I get stuff that's two sizes too big and try to store it because it's a brand name and it was only a quarter at a garage sale? And we get kind of mixed up with like, well, that's being wise with my money and, you know, being a good, especially if we're stay-at-home moms, you know, I have to be very resourceful. So then it gets kind of confusing. Like, well, what should I keep and what should I not? So would you keep stuff for kids to grow into, or like, how did you manage all the inventory that comes with kids?
I kept a small amount of, you know, like my favorite things that they wore. And since then I'm down to like a baby hat, a blanket, and like one dress from my daughter. You know, the sad part, the thing that I didn't realize too, is somehow if it's been worn, even though you washed it, there's stains on it after years. It's like they appeared.
It doesn't store well. So much of this stuff doesn't. No. And I know, you know, I'm sure there's women listening even right now and they're like, oh, well, you can sun bleach it and you can put it out in the sun or you can do this. And it's like, but are we going to do that? Is that how I want to spend my time and energy?
Yeah. So that's my fantasy self, Dawn. Yes. Mm-hmm. My fantasy self is still baking, making my homemade jam. I made my kids' baby food for number one and two.
Yep.
And by three and four, I think as you get older too, for me anyway, my most valuable thing is my time.
Yes. Yes. So have you ever felt, now that you're, especially your older two kids, did you ever feel like they were resentful from that your family lived so simply, or that they would go to other people, their friends' house, and be like, well, why do they have so much and we don't have this much?
No, I think I got lucky. So, you know, when I started, I had two at the time and they were three and five. And I never guilted them, like intentionally was like, you should be thankful that I'm getting rid of your stuff because you still have all of this, like in this like tone of, you know, discontent and stuff. So basically I highlighted the benefits of owning less. Mm-hmm. Hey, can we declutter this stuff together? Because if I had less laundry to do, we could literally get to the park sooner. So I tied it in casual conversations. This is my, you know, way that I do it. I tied the benefit in casual conversations to decluttering. You got to find their why. And so when you know your kid's why or your partner's why, you know, you can drop little nuggets.
Yeah.
Right? That you.
Yeah.
So I got lucky. And then my kids, we have lived in a lot of places. So been, you know, in different homes in different regions, in Hawaii and Connecticut and Texas and Florida. And sometimes they would be like, oh my gosh, their house is like amazing. It's so big. There's so many rooms and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I mean, it's really great. Like, I've taken care of, but like, it's really great. I just try not to be too negative.
I think that's great. And I think, I mean, I distinctly remember one time our girls coming home and they had been at a friend's house and they were like, they have a huge Barbie dream house and they have all the furniture and all the dolls. And as I listened to them more, I'm like, oh, really? That's so cool. That must be really fun to play with. And I realized it wasn't even necessarily that they were envious. It was, they were just like reporting back to me. It was,
right.
They were just observing it. And because I didn't play, like, you know, I wasn't like, oh my goodness, you know, I've gone too far. I have to go on Marketplace right now and get them a Barbie dream house. That I was like, I can just let them talk about it. And that does not mean that we have to replicate that in our own home.
Exactly. Right. And I'm glad that you mentioned that because it did get to the same point with my kids where they just were literally just coming back and talking about it, like reporting, not negative, not bad, but like, oh, wow. You know, and it's a good feeling when you don't feel like you have to run out and buy your kid something just because someone else has it. When you've gotten to a place with your child that it's okay for other, but every, people are going to have things that we don't have forever and ever and ever.
Yes. No, that's so good. And I was listening to a thing with Michael Easter. So he wrote Comfort Crisis and Scarcity Brain. And so he's done a lot of research about gratitudes and how do we cultivate contentment? And it was one of the most recent things he shared that he's learned is that gratitudes are great, but really for long lasting contentment, it's actually going without things. It's like fasting from the things or not having them accessible for a little while. And then when we get it back again, then we like fully appreciate it again. And so I've been thinking about that a lot with our kids, because I think many of us would agree, of course, I want to raise kids that feel content with what they have and where they are. And so this idea of like, well, what does that look like for them? And I'm like, well, it probably looks like they don't have all the toys and all the things at their disposal all of the time.
Yeah, it looks like letting them go without having things that they want. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't always feel good.
It doesn't always feel good. I mean, we do Christmas gifts, but I literally try to not, sometimes my kids honestly can't think of that many things.
Oh yeah. Right.
But mm-hmm. not get everything on their list.
Yes. That's so good.
I feel like it sets this mm-hmm. like, of getting everything you want. And I just don't think that's very realistic in life. Yeah. I might sound like a negative mom, but
no, but I think it's good. Cause I think
it'll always anything.
Yes. No, it'll always offend some. I mean, anytime I mention like on a YouTube video, what we're getting our kids for Christmas, and it's like, they have grandparents close by that get them gifts. So I'm like, we're just like very minimally supplementing. And so I'll be like, they get like a new game or something, and yeah. people will write in and they're like, you're a Scrooge or this. And I'm like, you know what? That's okay. Like that, you can totally have your opinion. I just want to be here. And I know this for you too, for the moms who are just really wanting to know, what does it look like? Okay, so you are saying you can go very minimal with gifts and your kids are okay. Like the guidance counselor at school is not calling you and reporting you to the authorities, right?
I think too, Dawn, it's all about the delivery. I mean, if you're angry and you're using, you're only going to get so many gifts as a negative thing. But if you're cultivating, just gratitude and valuing what you have and quality over quantity, then it's perfect.
Yeah. Well, let's circle back. You touched on sentimental stuff. I know sentimental stuff is a big struggle for a lot of moms. I think mostly, Zoe, we've never been taught, like, how do we curate it? What do we keep? What do we let go? Really, most of us, like, what we have for reference is what our parents did or what we're told we're supposed to keep that is super special. So how have you managed, like, kids' artwork and projects and baby stuff in your house?
Yeah. So when you say sentimental, I'm curious, Dawn, are you talking about things that are sentimental to me or things that are sentimental for my kids?
Good clarification. Why don't you do both?
Okay. So for my kids, the things that are sentimental, I designate a space. You can keep, and I let them choose. It's not my choice. I'm not going to dictate what is sentimental for them. My two littles, they each have one drawer in the bottom of their closet, and that's where they can keep all their sentimental stuff. They've got a basket for their stuffed animals. All of them have to fit in there if you want something new. So it's definitely those guidelines. And then you're not the person saying, you have to get rid of this and you have to keep that. Because the minute that you do that, they're not going to listen to you.
Yeah.
And then for me, I heard someone say this once. I know I read it somewhere, but when we ask better questions, we get better answers.
Ooh.
So I have a post on Instagram, one of my best, most popular posts that I think just resonated with so many people. It's 6 questions to help you let go of your sentimental things.
Oh, good. We'll link to that. Definitely.
One of them that's not included in that post that people say is, if your house burned down, what would you think about running in and getting? If your house was burning down, what would you really think about running in and getting? You're going to go towards your favorite things. With me, my experience is I was really close to my grandparents. I lived with them in high school. And when they got older and I was a young adult, I didn't have much. So I got a lot of their stuff. I got her coffee table and her plants and all these things. And as I grew up, I realized this isn't really my aesthetic and me. Mm-hmm. And like, I literally had multiple conversations with myself about a coffee table that was my grandmother's, that I didn't really love the actual coffee table, right? So I'm separating those. This coffee table is not my grandma. And I already had other things that I enjoyed more that were hers. So let's just say I have 50 things for my grandparents. I narrowed it down to like my top 10 that are easy for me to keep.
Yes. And as far as like kids' artwork and the projects that they make, I actually remember Danae from Simple Families. She's wonderful, right? She had a reel on Instagram one time where she had a garbage can and she was literally holding her child's artwork over it. And she's like a child psychologist, therapist. I don't know. She has all the credentials to go along with this, right?
She does.
But so she has the garbage can and the artwork and she's holding it over it and she just drops it in. And she said, parents, I don't hide it. I don't try and put stuff over it. I don't bring it to the garbage can outside. Like, it is okay for our kids to know that there are some things that are just for today. They were just for this week or this season, and not everything is special.
Right, right. And that's the culture that you need to set, is that not everything is special. Because then, right, if everything was special, then nothing is special, kind of whole thing.
Absolutely.
We set the culture, right? And I think actually today would say we set the temperature in our home. For me, I pretty much do the same thing. When they say, oh, but I made this, I let them keep a few things. Like, I have a folder, not very big, of like maybe one to two things like per year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then I'll even go in there and thin it out and I'll ask them, hey, what do you still love this? Like, what do you think about this? And that's it. The way that I get them to shift their focus of, I made this, I need to save it, is to focus that the best part about making that was the experience of making it.
Yeah.
Not necessarily keeping it.
Yeah. So of your four kids, were any of them more like attached to things than the others? Or were they all, you kind of set the culture and they got on board?
I mean, I would say I have a pack rat.
Yes.
But they must have just kind of, you know, for the most part, grown up along with the culture. Now Matt's kids.
So how long ago was it that you combined households?
Three or four years.
Okay. So how's that gone? I mean, bringing in two different cultures then together.
For those that don't know, Matt is one of the cleaning experts and host of Hoarders. And he had his own show, Legacy List, with Matt Paxton. So he's a decluttering expert, but he had a lot of stuff. So when he moved here and we joined families, he got rid of a lot of stuff. And I mean, he would call me and he was like, this is really hard. And I was like, I know. I was like, but like, I designed and built this house that we live in. And I really only designed and built it for me and my four kids. And there was not a lot of storage.
Yeah.
There was just not a lot of space. So I was like, I mean, just bring whatever's going to fit in here. I promise. And then now he doesn't even miss it. He doesn't even remember what all of it was.
Well, isn't that so interesting? Because I would think some could be like, well, that's a recipe for resentment, right? If you're like, sorry, not stuff and not enough room. But because we have a interview with him too, we'll link to, it sounds like he actually really appreciated those limitations.
So, and here was the key. I remember a conversation we had on the phone where he was going through all the hard stuff in his attic, all the sentimentals. And I just validated his feelings and I said, left it that it was his choice. I said, this is the space that we have. And if this is what we're going to do, this is how it has to be because there's no more space.
Yeah.
And instead of me saying, don't you dare bring that stuff here.
Yeah.
That's not going to go over well.
Yeah.
If you want someone to change or you want someone to see your point.
Well, and let's talk about that because probably, I mean, the number one question I think I generally get is about like photos and paper clutter. Number two, and I'm sure you get this all the time too, is how do I get my spouse on board? So what are some of the successful tactics that you've seen work for people?
So first, I mean, obviously starting with your own stuff, but not just decluttering your own stuff for a day and then turning around and being like, babe, I did it yesterday. Like, why haven't you done your closet yet? No, yeah. it's you do your stuff and then talk about how much better it's making you feel. Let them see your experience in a positive way. But if you're just doing it and they don't hear you talking about it and processing it in a positive way, I think that they're missing out on the benefits. So doing it that way and just not dictating what they're going to get rid of. I think it's totally reasonable, you know, to ask for certain areas, shared spaces. Hey, can we, you know, I know you want to keep this. I mean, Matt has some things that he likes to keep. I'm like, what the Why? Right? Okay, but guess what? He has his cabinet in the office.
Yep.
If it fits in the cabinet,
yeah,
you go right ahead, babe.
I think that's one of the things I regret looking back, because I did not tell Tom anything that I was doing because I didn't know if it was going to work. I didn't know if I'm going to get rid of all my stuff and be like, oh, darn it, that was a mistake, you know? And now I look back and I'm like, I wish I would have brought him along for the ride and said like, wow, like I got rid of like, I don't know, 75% of our kids' toys. They don't miss them. I can stay on top of like our living spaces now. This is so much better. Like I'm feeling more calm in our space, and just kind of shared some of the things I was experiencing. And then I do think it would have influenced his journey sooner rather than it was like a few years later. And I'm like, oh, by the way, this is what we're doing now.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, hey, now that I'm 50% done, yeah, get on board, dude. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're already having that conversation with yourself in your head. Mm-hmm. They're oblivious to all this. Totally. Like, you have to remember, like, they have no idea what you're processing and what is going on. So you really want to, you know, live that out for them, but with your own stuff.
Absolutely. And I think it can be good to ask them, how do you want to be helped? Do you want me to be alongside you, help you make decisions, help you organize? I even like to use the word organize better than declutter, right? Or should I just let you have at it yourself? And because sometimes I think we assume, especially if we've lived with them for a long time, like we know what they want or how they would want to do it. And sometimes Sure. just to ask like might be helpful too.
Yeah.
So Zoe, I feel like, so we decluttered our house about 8 or 9 years ago. Our kids were little, 5 and under. So kind of similar to when you got started. And I mean, I think the word I would use is freedom to describe it. I just felt like this huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. We were talking ahead of time too, that like you said, you were a messy person too, naturally. So I was really glad to hear that. And I just felt for the first time, like I could be successful with my house and staying on top of it, keeping it tidy. I'm still not a super perfectly clean person. I don't like to deep clean, but it's picked up. And I thought back then when my kids were little, I thought, wow, this is incredible. Like, what a gift. I feel like I appreciate minimalism even more now that our kids are teenagers. I'm just like, there's no way. I thought I was busy back then. It's a different kind of busy, but it is so different now. And I literally like walk into our house some days and I'm like, I am so grateful for this because there's no way I could stay on top of it now. So I'm curious, have you had a similar experience or not so much?
Actually, I have. I mean, just all the very, and you know, now we've combined our families. Yes. We have 7 kids in the house and all of those children primarily live with us.
Wow. Okay.
So that's the full time. And then they go to their others part time. So there is always something. And I think to myself, like when there's multiple kids sick and then I'm sick or doctor's appointments and just life happening, right? That wasn't on your calendar. I would be a disaster if I did not have like simplicity and minimalism in my house. It would be a disaster. And then I start feeling bad for everybody.
So what would you say to those moms right now who are just tired and exhausted?
Aside from getting ruthless and just do an area, because like that's how you're going to dig yourself out. What I tell myself is that when I'm overwhelmed and everything with decluttering or projects, sometimes my feelings, I'm making them more than they are. They're dictating, my feelings are dictating my behavior. Sometimes to just say, I'm not going to listen to this overwhelm. I know I have other stuff that needs to be done. Because isn't that a mom? Like, mm-hmm. There's always going to be something. Yeah. I'm just going to do this and I'm not going to think about it. And I'm not going to listen to these feelings that I'm having of being overwhelmed and feeling defeated. Because sometimes those feelings are lies. Like it's a lie.
Yes, right.
It's a lie. It's a lie that you can't do it. I want to see like moms reach out to each other and friends and say, come over to my house and help keep me accountable and help me declutter. Do you know why they're not? They're embarrassed.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
If you want to find out who your real friends are, ask them to come over to your messy house and help you declutter.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to judge you for that, well, you just let go of someone who wasn't really good.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know if you've seen this too, but I feel like through COVID and all of that, the inventory in people's homes has crept up so much more that I used to feel like there was like neat people and messy people. even the neat people and the naturally organized people are so overwhelmed with stuff now and inventory that even their systems that maybe they could maintain in the past are so overwhelmed now that they're falling apart. And so I feel like almost every mom out there right now needs to declutter, some at varying levels. But if you texted a group of friends right now and said, hey, can we hold each other accountable this new year? I think you're going to get a resounding like, yes, please, I need that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. And I feel like for a lot of people, especially certain personality types who have a really difficult time, like myself, executing the idea by yourself, that is going to make the world of difference between, like, for you to have success in decluttering is having someone do it with you. So to circle back, Dawn, I'm not a naturally organized person. This is why I need minimalism and simplicity, because I am the person who doesn't fold their pants. I just throw them in the drawer. But if you only have like six pairs, you know, I mean, I try to, you know, but I don't do it like every time. And I don't enjoy organizing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I want to. Yeah. But I just don't enjoy it.
Yeah, I think I should. And that's what we thought was the problem up until we found minimalism, right? It's like, well, if I could just get organized.
Dawn, I don't know if you're familiar with the Myers-Briggs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm an ENFP.
Okay.
So extroverted, intuitive, feeler. I can, under stress, let my feelings dictate my behavior, which can be detrimental.
Yeah.
To making progress.
Yeah.
And then I'm a P. So I don't like to make lists. I don't like to be organized. I'm not a systematic person.
So minimalism really was the solution.
Yes.
For you then. Yeah.
Yes. It's really interesting. I took a poll on my Instagram this past year, and apparently I'm the minority. Most people are love to organize.
it is true, actually. I wouldn't even actually say most. I just think they're very vocal.
So that was my next thought. I was just talking about this with a friend, and I was like, but wait, is it just that only the J's on the Myers-Briggs, we're the only ones who actually answered this question?
Yeah, because everyone else felt bad.
Yeah, everybody else was like, you know, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I do like things organized.
Yes.
You know, just like I don't really enjoy cooking, but I love eating.
Yeah.
Right? I like the end result. I just, you know.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I hope that actually for many women who have gotten down on themselves of that my house isn't organized and I haven't been able to stay on top of it. I mean, I just like to say like, well, you still have too much inventory, because your house shouldn't be hard. Do we go through seasons where it's a little more chaotic than others? Yes. But I think, again, like you said in the beginning, you'll probably just have to keep decluttering further if it still feels like you and your family together can't stay on top of keeping it picked up and livable most days.
Exactly.
That probably permission to keep going further till you get to that point. Because do you think, Zoe, I mean, do you think it's achievable for every woman to have a house that's you can stay on top of no matter what season you're in?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, Zoe, so fun to get to visit with you today. Of course, I'll link to all of your resources, and your book, Minimalism for Families, is gold. So again, for anyone who's felt like, I just want a little more instruction and know-how in that area, great book to read as well. So we'll link to that. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Dawn. It's been wonderful.
Thank you for joining us on the Minimal Mom Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a friend who might find value in embracing a simplified lifestyle.